God has no evil thought toward you. He only wants you to know His love, forgiveness, and provision. Learn more on today's Believer's Voice of Victory as Kenneth Copeland and Rick Renner conclude The Unlimited Power of Christ in You.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Listen, pay very, very careful attention to today's broadcast because the Lord has some things in here today that are crucial and vital to your prospering and being in good health, even as your soul prospers right in the middle of all this mess that's going on all over the world. So listen carefully. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We receive it. It's blessed us, and we receive it by faith, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles today to the book of Acts. Now, Brother Rick.
Oh, I'm excited to get into this.
Let's look here. The Apostle Paul is in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts.
Chapter 26.
Mm-hmm. And the Apostle Paul is testifying and so forth, and he's telling his story.
All right.
Now, in verse 9, verse 8, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. He just confessed to murder. Now, I punished them often in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme. Being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, and so forth and so on. And he keeps on this very road. Then Jesus, we know what happened to him. He fell to the earth and heard a voice. Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I said, who are you, Lord? He called him Lord right then. That's when he was born again.
That was the moment.
Only one word.
Lord.
Lord. Then he asked, who are you? So now look what happened. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I am Jesus whom you persecute. Rise, stand up on your feet. For I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I appear unto you. And he never mentioned his sin again. This man just confessed a murder, mass murder. I mean, he was the cause these people got killed. And Jesus, once he said, Lord, it was over.
Never mentioned again.
Never mentioned it to him again. He began to tell him what he's called to do. The whole point of this is we get under condemnation of sin and all of that, but in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Well, you could say this, to those who will obey the Word. There is no condemnation. He doesn't see you like that. He's not out to condemn you. He's out to get you out of that condemnation and deliver you right where you are and put you into the best place you've ever been in your life. Mm. That's God's will, and He doesn't will one thing for one and another for another. I mean, that'll work on death row, and it worked right here for this man, and it'll work. I don't care where it is. And your ministry has tremendously proven this. God just plucked you out of the United States and put you right in the middle of the USSR.
Hallelujah.
And prospered you and blessed you. And in spite of that system and everything around you, and here you are 20 years later, and that bunch that hated you so much is gone, and you're still there in the shadow of the Kremlin.
And loving.
Prospering and blessing loving. God, and 3,000 people coming to church, and wow. But I want you to know something today. God has no evil thought about you. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. Amen. Doesn't that thrill you?
It does.
It's a whosoever message, and it's full of power.
It's powerful.
Amen. Now, let's get back over there in the book of Revelation, talking to those churches. And you see Jesus' idea of the church. It's not an ugly, beat up, old, sinful, old, ragged, doggy thing that religion has painted.
Mm-hmm.
No. That's not the picture that God has of us at all.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this is just so marvelous. I've been preaching this for 44 years, and it still just carries me away. And I just thought, oh, God, thank you for your grace and your mercy and your goodness. Oh, I'm so glad you love me so.
Praise God.
It'll set you free from anything. Amen.
Amen.
So get us back over in there, Rick.
Well, Brother Copeland, when you look at verse 12, you know,
Revelation 1:12, right?
Yeah, 1:12. Well, in verse 11, we've already seen this message was for the seven churches, and Ephesus was the launching pad.
Yeah.
But then when you come to verse 12, John continues talking about what he sees in the Spirit. He says, I turn. So John is in the Spirit. He hears a voice behind him, and the Bible says, I turn to see. That word see is the word blepo, means to see with the eyes.
Yeah.
He was fully anticipating to find the face connected to that voice.
Which was Jesus, and he knew it.
He knew the voice.
Yeah.
Now, he hadn't seen Jesus for more than 6 decades. But when he heard that voice, he turned to see the voice that spake with him. And being turned, he said, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Now we know that when Jesus was raised from the dead and he ascended on high, what did he do? He sat at the Father's right hand. And there Jesus sits forevermore to intercede for us. Only 2 times in the New Testament do we see Jesus standing.
Mm-hmm.
The first is when Saul gave his voice for Stephen to be stoned. And when Stephen was stoned, the Bible says he looked into heaven and saw the Son of Man
standing.
Wow. Well, Jesus is seated forever. But when Stephen was martyred, the first martyr for the faith, Jesus literally stood from his throne in attention of the first who was ever giving his life.
Praise God. My.
And now we see in the book of Revelation that Jesus is not just standing, but he is walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The word midst is the Greek word meson, which means to walk right in the very gut of a thing. And he's observing and he's looking. And we know that because to all seven churches he says, I know, I know, I know, I know. That word know is the Greek word oida, which is from a root, which means to see and to know by personal observation. So what Jesus sees in these churches is not what an angel told him. It's not what he heard from someone in prayer. Jesus has been walking through the church. And Jesus sees their works. He knows that the church of Ephesus, as great as it is, has lost its first love. Jesus said, I know what's happening to the church of Smyrna. He knew their poverty and their hardship. He said to the church of Pergamum, I know. How did he know? He was there. He was walking among them. Same thing to Thyatira. Same thing to Sardis, Laodicea, Philadelphia. Jesus was walking through the church. Something has happened that has caused Christ to stand from his place had to take a stroll through these churches. But what is so beautiful is, regardless of what he has seen, he has seen they've lost their first love. He's seen that the Nicolaitans are trying to teach sinful mm-hmm. doctrine. Mm-hmm. He's seen all of their problems. And sometimes, you know, we're real tempted just to dwell on problems. But even with everything that Jesus has seen, the church is revealed here as seven golden candlesticks.
Oh, man.
Praise the
Lord.
That's
the way he saw them.
And that's the way he still sees us.
Boy, that is so powerful.
Now, we think of a candlestick like we have today. There were no such things. All they had were little lamps that you would hold in your hand. They were handheld lamps. They were made of clay, they contained oil, and they had a wick. Listen to this. A wick that came out of their mouth. Those little lamps were so abundant, for instance, in the land of Israel, that even today, if you go to Israel, you can put a shovel just about anywhere in the ground, and you're going to find an old Herodian lamp. And if you ever go to Israel and go in the shops and you wonder, can all these be real? A lot of them are real. They are not hard to find because it was the only source of light. And they would take these little lamps, they would fill them with oil, put a wick in it, and depending on how much oil it had, it could burn for days, it could burn for hours.
Story of the virgins and the bridegroom.
Same story.
Yeah.
And now Jesus uses that as an example of the church. Well, they were made of clay, and Brother Copeland, honestly, if we look at the church and we know what we know about human beings and human organizations and the way people do things, it doesn't take too long to figure out that the church has a lot of clay in it.
Oh, yeah.
We're pretty fragile. But God, in his wonderful mind, has chosen to put his Spirit in the church. Even though we're fragile, he has purchased us. And therefore, he doesn't call us clay. He calls us golden lamps. The word lamp is leuknos. It's really not candlestick. It's an oil-burning lamp. And proceeding from the mouth is that wick. And of course, it was through the mouth that the light was given.
That's right.
And it's the same today. It's through our mouths that the light is shining in darkness. And you know, Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 that if you want your lamp to give the most brilliant light, then you got to put it on a lampstand. Mm. And the amount of light that was given by a lamp determined on its elevation.
Well, sure.
If you put it on the table, then it had enough light to give light to the folks around the table. But the higher the lamp, the greater the light. So if you kept lifting it higher and higher, it would give maximum light. Well, these churches are on lampstands. And these churches are providing light to everyone in the house, which the house in this case is the city of Ephesus, the city of Smyrna, the city of Thyatira, Pergamum. These were to be God's lamps. And even though they had the defects and they had the problems and things that needed to be cleansed, Jesus said, they're still golden to me. It was the only group Jesus had to operate with. And Jesus purchased them with his own blood.
Praise God.
They were golden to Jesus. And I just want to say to you,
precious in his sight.
You know, and to your viewers, the church is still golden. Don't badmouth the church. And if you think that you've seen bad things in the church, no one has seen more than Jesus has seen. He's seen it for 2,000 years, and he's still with the church. He is still standing in the midst of the church, and he's not going anywhere else.
Boy, Rick, that's big. That is big to realize the mind of Christ. And the Scripture says we have the mind of Christ. The mind of the anointed and his anointing, the same anointing on his mind is available to us. And to look at me through those eyes is astounding to me.
Yes.
But it's stupid of me to to rebuke it and say, oh, no, Brother Rick, I'm just a little nobody. No, you're not a nobody.
You're a carrier of the Holy Ghost.
Absolutely. I never thought about this applied, this scripture applies to that until right now. It just began to come up on the inside of me, where the apostle wrote to Timothy and told him, there are in a house earthen vessels and golden vessels.
That's exactly what he's talking about.
So those lamps, I'd never realized over right then that applies to that.
Mm-hmm.
There are little clay lamps,
mm-hmm.
but in a great house, he said, there are golden lamps.
That's exactly what he's talking about.
And then he goes ahead far enough to say, if you do these things, you are a golden vessel.
Unto honor.
That's those golden vessels right there.
That's right.
An honor vessel in the house of God. Now, if I say, yeah, but you know, Brother Copeland, that could never be me. No, it can't, because you won't receive it by faith, and you read it and don't receive it.
And this is not about what we've done to make ourselves.
No. He's no respecter of persons. It's not about what we did, it's what he did.
He did it. He paid the price for us.
Oh, my goodness. That is so big.
And Brother Copeland, you know, these churches had problems. Jesus saw these problems. He addresses the problems.
Serious problems.
But when Jesus shows up in this text, notice how he shows up first. This just absolutely blessed me. Look at this. I saw one like unto the Son of Man. Notice this. Clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Verse 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Verse 15, his feet were like undefined brass, which is always symbolic of judgment. And his voice is the sound of many waters. Verse 16, he had in his right hand, how I wish we had time to get into all this,
seven stars,
and out of his mouth went a sharp, double-edged sword. Well, most people, when they see this, they focus on the feet that Christ is coming with judgment, that Christ has a sword coming out of his mouth. And absolutely, it's undeniable that's in the text. But when John saw Jesus, he doesn't mention the sword first. He doesn't mention the brass of feet first. The first thing John saw was the flowing gown that went down to his feet. And notice there's no mention of any sandals or any footwear. This is exactly the clothing of a high priest, which is described in Exodus chapter 28.
The barefooted priest.
The barefooted priest.
Yeah.
So the first thing he sees is Christ has appeared as the great intercessor, as the great high priest who has come and has been interceding on behalf of his church. He didn't come first with judgment. He came first as the great intercessor. And I think it's so important for us to realize Christ is for us.
Always.
He's for us.
Always. He's never against you. The only sin that he can't do anything about is the sin of rejecting him as Lord. And that's because of your own will to absolutely not receive him as Lord. He can't get it to you if you won't receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, you know the old saying, well, you go to hell for lying, same as stealing. You don't go to hell for lying. You don't go to hell for stealing. That's all been taken care of. You go to hell because you don't receive him as Lord and Savior, and you leave that situation in and on yourself, and so you're not covered. He doesn't send you to hell because he hates you and that kind of stuff.
And he really doesn't want to judge us.
No. He took the judgment, Rick.
You know, Brother Copeland, it says that he came and his feet were like undefined brass glowing in a furnace. That, you know, brass, or it's bronze.
Yeah.
Bronze is heavy. Do you have any bronze statues in your office?
Yeah.
I mean, it takes quite an effort to move even a small bronze statue. Well, if Jesus' feet were bronze, it means his movement was very slow. This was not a quick move to judgment. And the Bible says they were glowing. That word glowing is actually the Greek word lebanos, which is the Greek word for frankincense. These are feet that have been doused in prayer. Frankincense was what was used by the priest in the Holy of Holies. These are feet that have been doused in frankincense. And Jesus is moving so slowly that he is taking one step at a time, giving enough time for the church to hear his message, for the church to repent, and the church to make changes before he arrives and has to bring the sharp sword with two edges.
Praise God.
And isn't it true?
Oh, it's amazing.
That God always speaks to us and says, I'm going to give you space to repent.
Oh, yeah. Unreasonably long.
Yes.
If I was the judge, I'd have stopped that a long time ago. But then I've been just as guilty as the people that were doing it. If I acted like that, he's slow.
Patient.
Patient. Oh, my. Thank God.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. It's just, Lord, thank you.
Amen.
Oh, God, we worship you.
Thank you, thank you for your mercy.
Your mercy. Thank you for loving us so. Thank you for being who you are and what you are so that we can be who you are and what you are. Mm. Give us that kind of patience and long-suffering in our own homes, in our own churches, so that we're not quick to judge and hard to come down on people that miss it, but to be long in prayer and long for them in the Spirit and love them and have faith for them and stand on this Word and believe and walk in you, the walk of faith and the walk of the love of God.
Yes.
And oh, we give you praise and thanksgiving.
We do, Lord.
I pray for your family. I pray for situation in your church, Pastor. Listen, it may look terrible. There may be a scandal broke out in your church and the devil's trying to destroy it. Don't get all heady and up in the air over it. Begin to think of those people in there. Surround them with love thoughts. Surround them with faith and forgiveness thoughts. At first, it's hard to do. You have to do it by faith. Do the same thing in your marriage. Do the same thing with your children. Forgiving and loving and walking slowly through that congregation and loving them as a shepherd loves his sheep, like Jesus loved you and cares for you. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
It'll bring your church into a place you never knew existed. It'll bring your marriage into a place that you never knew could even be attained. Gloria and I have been married almost 50 years. And I'm telling you, Rick, we've been together almost 24 hours a day for 50 years. And it's just grown and grown. It is good when it started. But I'm telling you, Jesus has brought us to a place with one another and with our family and our children and our great-grandchildren and our grandchildren and all. Our family is in a place we did not know existed until we grew into it. You can have the same thing. And we're out of time. Oh, man.
It's been a privilege.
It has been a privilege. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Brother Rick and I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. The Southwest Believers Convention will be the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Join Kenneth Copeland for the Venezuela Victory Campaign in Maracaibo, Estado de Zulia, Venezuela, August 26th and 27th. Live It East Coast Faith Conference with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher, September 16th and 17th in Secaucus, New Jersey. For more information, go to kcm.org.
Friday, as most of you know, is always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. By what the Spirit of God said to me years ago concerning this, I'm compelled to go back into the 6th chapter of Galatians almost every time. Now, there are times when the Lord will lead me to do something else, but very seldom. That let him that is taught in the Word respond to him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, I know for years, when I used to hear preachers talk about that when I was a child and then as a young man, and they always referred to sin. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even talking about sin. It's true concerning sin, but he's talking about sowing in response, recognition, mm-hmm. and in thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. into the ministry that sowed life into you. Mm-hmm. And for he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's the sin part. But he that sows to the Spirit, just talking about his reborn spirit, if you sow in behalf of and for the benefit of your born-again spirit before God, because he talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. He's still talking about that. That when you do that, you reap Zoe everlasting, the very life of God. It's the Word of God, which is life, was sown. You heard it. But when you give toward it, when you acknowledge, when you move by faith, and you sow into that ministry or in however and wherever the Lord Jesus directs you to do, then that takes root in your spirit and it begins to grow there to produce fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. And it becomes your revelation. So, Father, we pray for this radio and television audience all over the world. Yes. As they pray and seek you, Lord, about what they should do concerning this, reveal to them what their part is. And we thank you for it. We receive it. And we bless them beyond measure. We join our faith to theirs. And we stand with them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Next week, Gloria and Pastor George Pearson's Another 10 Days of Prosperity. Don't miss it. Rick, God bless you, sir.
Thank you, brother.
We love you, man. And we'll see you next time. Remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right.